Welcome to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast, the audio version of the Josh Meister's Lost blog, which you can find at thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Hey everybody, this is the Josh Meister, and welcome back to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast. We just got finished watching Lost Season 6, Episode 10, The Package. And just about to call in is Spivvy Josh from the Lost Flashbacks. I call him Spivvy on the show to avoid confusion with my own name, which also happens to be Josh. And while we're waiting for him to call in, just a couple of things before we dive into this episode discussion. First of all, I wanted to mention that there was a really good episode, an especially good episode of Geronimo Jack's Beard for the episode Abaterno. They had the actor who plays Richard Alpert, Nestor Carbonell, on the show. And of course, the show itself is produced by Jorge Garcia and his girlfriend. Jorge Garcia, of course, he's the actor who plays Hurley on the show. So it's a really cool podcast. He has a lot of insights because they actually kind of go by the script, which obviously all of the rest of us Lost fans who do podcasts don't have. So it was a particularly good episode. So listen to the Abaterno episode. I will put a link to that in the show notes. I definitely recommend it. There were really a lot of kind of behind the scenes insights in the Abaterno episode, thanks in large part to Nestor Carbonell, and some really, really cool things, I think. So that's definitely worth checking out if you're not already subscribed to that podcast. Just don't unsubscribe from mine, please, to make room for it in your playlist. But also, one other thing that I keep forgetting to mention for the past couple of weeks, many of you may be familiar with Big O's Cranky Fanatic Lost podcast. And Big O also is an iPhone app developer, and he just recently released a Lost trivia game. It's called Lost Answers, and it's available for iPhone and iPod Touch. Presumably, it'll also probably work on the iPad, I would guess, which is about to come out. In fact, maybe by the time I release this episode, it'll already be out. But in any case, I'll also put a link to that in the show notes. But you can also search for it in iTunes. If you go to the iTunes store, search for Lost Answers, and you can find it there. It's 99 cents, and it's a lot of fun. So check that out. All right, Spivvy, you're all called in and ready to discuss this episode, The Package?
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. And since I don't give you the opportunity often enough, do you want to just tell us where you're from? You are also a Lost podcaster.
Definitely. I, with my co-host Amanda, host Lost Flashbacks podcast, which started out just covering the series as a whole, but now we cover every episode at our initial reactions, and we have a lot of fun doing it. Kind of, we rant a little bit like Big O, but no one can be Big O, so we kind of rant a little bit. But we have most fun making fun of Jack. That's kind of our staple, I think. Angry Jack and Sad Jack and Crazy Jack and all that.
Right. Cool. Well, thanks as always for calling in. It's always nice to have someone to kind of give some audio feedback. it's good when you're in the chat, but it's nicer to be able to talk to a human when I'm doing the podcast. So we start out this episode. And by the way, just a little recap for people who might be new to the show this week. I don't talk about necessarily every point in the episode, but I try to cover kind of the highlights, the things that are most pertinent to the plot. We start out in 2007 on the island, and somebody is watching Sawyer, Kate, Claire, and the Man in Black, and kind of the Man in Black's whole camp with night vision. And they can hear what Sawyer is saying. And that intrigued me. I mean, obviously, this has got to be Widmore, right? I mean, we find out later in the episode that apparently that's what was going on. But this this whole night vision and being able to hear what Sawyer is saying to Kate was intriguing to me, because it made me think that maybe Widmore knows about Sawyer's plan to double-cross him, because Sawyer revealed the whole plan out loud to Kate, and if they were being watched and listened to at the time, then Widmore might be aware of Sawyer's planned con. So, I don't know. What do you think about that, Spivvy?
I hadn't thought of that he may have been listening the whole time and would sort of know what, you know, Sawyer was planning and then can, you know, plan his attack or whatever he was going to do, you know, much, much better. But, you know, I was intrigued by that too when he was listening, and I wondered if they had planted something on him or were using one of those things that you always see in spy movies where they have like a satellite dish thing and hear far away. But I didn't know those were so specific that you could, I mean, the jungle is pretty loud, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I wonder how far away they actually were, and, you know, I wonder how much of that was just what they could hear from being whatever distance away that they were. I don't know. In any case, that was the thing that kind of made me wonder, though. I'm like, you know, okay, maybe Widmore knows what's coming. So the Man in Black in the guise of Locke. Throughout this episode, of course, when I say Man in Black, I'm referring to, you know, the Locke-looking character who's actually the Man in Black. We don't actually see the actor who plays the Man in Black, like last week with the Richard Alpert episode where we saw the Man in Black in his natural form or whatever. In this episode, when I say Man in Black, I'm just referring to Locke, quote unquote. He tells Jin that he isn't sure whether Jin or Sun is the Kwan whose name is in the cave. And that, you know, it's funny because we have the Man in Black saying the same thing that Ilana said. You know, she's not sure whether it's Jin or Sun who's the Kwan that she needs to protect. And now we have the Man in Black saying that he's not sure whether it's Jin or Sun who's the candidate either. So it's like, I don't know. It's especially weird to me. I mean, I get why the Man in Black wouldn't know. I mean, he wouldn't have that kind of inside information. Ilana, however, we found out in last week's episode that she actually got 6 specific names from Jacob. And presumably they were only last names because she doesn't know whether it's Jin or Sun. But when she was talking to Sun however many episodes ago, she said, "I don't know whether it's you or your husband or both of you." So I don't see how she could not, you know, if she's got the name, the list of names, how could she think that it could be both or one of them? Because that would change the number. And we know from the last episode that Jacob gave her a specific number of names. I don't know. That's so frustrating to me. But
in terms of Lana, that's actually something that, it doesn't bother me enough that I think about it a lot, but it bothered me when they first said it, because if it's that important, you would think that Jacob would make clear exactly who it is. You know, he would need, you know, not Jin, you need Sun. That's the one to focus on. But, you know, for Man in Black, I could understand maybe he only saw the names on the wall, so that's all that's there, so fine. You know, he doesn't know. But yeah, I was confused as to why Jacob wouldn't let Ilana know exactly who she needs to focus on.
Yeah, I exactly, my thoughts exactly. So it's very bizarre. So the next thing the Man in Black says is that all the names that aren't crossed off in the cave need to leave the island together. I guess in order for the Man in Black, for his plan to work, this is what he thinks needs to happen, is that they all need to leave the island together, all the candidates. I don't know. It's kind of funny because later in the episode, I think he mentioned that he had 3 of them, but
He needs 3 more. Is what?
Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. No, he didn't say how many he has. He said right that he had there are 3 more that he needs. I'll get to that because I know I took notes on that somewhere. But yeah, I don't know. It's so bizarre. So why do you think that they all need to leave the island together? Is his plan to kind of force the candidates to leave the island? And if all the candidates are off the island, then nobody can be on the island to replace Jacob, because of course it's very difficult to get back to the island. Unless of course you're Charles Widmore, in which case he always knows how to get back to the island. But for anybody else, it seems like it's somewhat difficult to make your way back to the island. You know, even Ms. Hawking, she knew, you know, what plane they had to take, but she also indicated that the conditions for getting back to the island had to be just right. And I don't know. In any case, So the Man in Black thinks that they all need to leave the island together. At least that's his plan. I guess that makes sense because maybe what he wants to do is just kill all of the candidates and he's just claiming that he wants all of them to leave the island together. Maybe his real plan is to just kill them all. Of course, if he was going to kill them all, why wouldn't he have already killed the ones that he knows of? For example, Jin, you know, I don't know. What were we going to say?
Well, I don't think he can kill any of the candidates. And I think it has a lot to do with free will, that if they choose to leave with him, then they are choosing to not be Jacob. Like they're not going to take up that mantle. They don't want it. So if they leave, then there is no Jacob. Like if they stay, first of all, I don't think he can kill any of the candidates, but you know, if someone
right.
Jack or stay, even if he's not the next Jacob, I think he still sort of has, he's holding, you know, the Man in Black there in whatever way that Jacob was imprisoning him there. He's still imprisoned by candidates and whoever's going to be the next Jacob. So if they choose to leave and they say, hey, I don't want this crap. I don't want to be the next Jacob. We're going.
Right.
If all of them leave, then he's free.
I guess that makes sense. And as far as whether or not the Man in Black can actually kill them, I don't think we necessarily know for sure, but there was that boy running through the jungle that, you know, told him you can't kill him, you know, presumably talking about Sawyer. And then the Man in Black says, don't tell me what I can't do. You know, so there was that scene that sort of hints that the Man in Black can't kill the candidates. So maybe this is his loophole, you know, to get them off of the island. Bailey Bear also brings up that, you know, Sun and Jin also have a baby as well. And so some people have even speculated that Ji Yeon, the baby, could be the Quan that they're talking about, or that's in the cave wall. My guess is that it's probably not, just because she's not on the island. As far as we know, now, you know, there was a reveal later in the episode that Desmond apparently is the package, or at least that's kind of what's hinted at the end of the episode. So, you know, I don't know. I guess it's possible that Ji Yeon is also on the boat, on the sub, but I don't know. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that either Jin or Sun is going to be the Quan who's the candidate.
I think this episode even came close to confirming which one of them is. Didn't go that far, but I think you sort of assume things from it. I mean, that's a little further in the episode, so I'll talk about that when you get to it. But
okay, let's see. Okay, so 2004 in a flash sideways. We're back to the flash sideways again. Apparently, Jin was supposed to deliver the money that was confiscated at the airport because he didn't declare it. They had to confiscate it from him at the airport. So he doesn't have the money. He just has the watch. And they were apparently detained for a while at the airport because of this. If I remember right, I was kind of trying to take notes and it's difficult to do that and also read captions at the same time. And unfortunately, while I do understand Spanish, and could kind of get away with it last week, I don't understand any Korean. So I may have missed a couple of lines, but I think what happened, you can correct me if I'm wrong, was that they were supposed to meet whoever it was. We find out later, I guess it must have been Kimi, and they were late for their meeting because of being detained in the airport. So Jin was supposed to deliver this money that was kept from them, and along with the watch. And it turns out that Jin and Sun are not married in this timeline, and they actually sleep in different rooms. Or at least they have two different rooms. Not necessarily that they actually are going to sleep in two different rooms. Bailey Barrett kind of brings up a good point, you know, maybe a cranky fanatic-esque point, but shouldn't they have gotten an interpreter? Like, you've got these two people who apparently don't speak any English, and they're going to the United States on this mission together, and they don't have somebody with them to interpret for them. Yeah, that was probably not the best idea. especially if they're going to be carrying around that much cash and they can't even explain themselves. All right. So in 2007, back on the island, Man in Black asked Saeed to watch the camp until morning. And Saeed says that he doesn't feel anything. He doesn't feel anger or happiness or pain. And the Man in Black says, maybe that's best, Saeed. It'll help you get through what's coming. Go ahead.
Oh, that scene was just creepy. You know, Saeed is sitting there turning into like a zombie or something. And he's like, you could see that this is what the sickness is doing to him. And
right,
like, when it gets to your heart, you're gone. So he's there, I think. He has nothing left.
Yeah, that's definitely what it seems like. I mean, I honestly thought that he was kind of officially, you know, the darkness, the sickness had overcome him as of when he decided to kill Dogen and Lenin. You know, but yeah, I mean, now he's kind of got this numbness and he can't feel any emotion at all, apparently, which is very, very weird. And yeah, I agree. He's becoming very creepy. But, you know, I mean, I keep thinking about Claire, and I mean, she has emotions. I mean, she obviously was very angry at Kate, you know, and tried to kill her and so forth. So, you know, Claire, we've been led to believe by Dogen, has the same sickness that Saeed has. So I don't really get that, you know, how Saeed doesn't have any emotions anymore, but Claire has emotions. So what, did they like go away and then come back? Or is everybody affected differently by it? I don't know. It's one of those things where I wish they... I don't know if they didn't think it through clearly enough, or maybe I'm missing something. I don't have all the information yet, but it just seemed weird that they kind of seem to have different symptoms from the sickness.
Yeah,
I don't know. And you know, maybe it's because it's just at an early stage still for Saeed, and it's at a much more advanced stage for Claire. I don't know. Let's see here. So it'll help you get through what's coming. Well, apparently we know that there's a war coming, but I wonder, you know, what specifically the Man in Black meant, like whether Saeed's friends are going to die, whether Saeed is going to be tortured. I mean, I wonder what the Man in Black thinks is coming and how he thinks it's going to help Saeed. I mean, Saeed is already, you know, a war veteran. He's, a former torturer. I mean, this guy... You know, this is a pretty tough guy already. And I don't know. So we'll see if that line has any significance, I guess, within the next several episodes. Let's see. So next up, Jin prepares to leave when he sees the Man in Black leave. He's getting ready to leave the camp. Sawyer comes over and kind of tries to talk him out of it. Sawyer says that he's going to go look for Sun at the temple. And before Sawyer can kind of argue with Jin, is what I assumed was going to happen next, and say, look, dude, everybody at the temple is dead. Sun's not going to be there. If she is, she's not alive, you know. And before that conversation could even begin, Zoe and the other Widmore people shoot Jin, Sawyer, Claire, and the other Man in Black followers with tranquilizers, apparently, and Zoe identifies Jin, and they take Jin away. Meanwhile, on the, let's see, I guess this would be the other island. Wait, or would it? No. Same island, right? Because Man in Black's team is, yeah, they're on the main island right now. That's right, because Widmore has kind of taken up camp on the Hydra Island. So this is on the other side of the main island. Sun is upset, presumably because she wants to find Jin, and Ilana's plan is just to wait for Richard to come back. And Ben doesn't seem to think that Richard's going to come back because of how he left, you know, saying basically that, you know, they were all in hell and that Jacob was a liar and he was going to trust somebody else instead this time. Well, of course, Ilana, it turns out, was right later in the episode, but Sun, of course, she's very upset. She just wants to be reunited with Jin. And I think she's upset that Ilana, who's kind of their leader, has determined that they just need to sit and wait around. I don't think that's what Sun wanted to hear. And she wasn't really specific. Like, I don't even think when she had the conversation with Jack that she mentioned Jin. I don't recall her actually mentioning Jin, but it seems as though that's exactly what she was kind of concerned about. And interestingly, Jack even tries to tell Sun about the lighthouse, but she won't listen. Of course, Jack saw the place where Sun and Jin were married in the lighthouse. And, of course, you know, on the other hand, Jack wasn't actually there when Sun and Jin got married. So maybe he didn't recognize that scene. But I do find it interesting, though, that he was telling them about the lighthouse. In fact, well, you know, here's maybe an answer to that, though, because there were names written on the written in the lighthouse on the wheel. And so maybe, I guess, when it lines up with Shepherd, it shows his house. And so maybe he noticed that it showed that a particular scene when it lined up with Quan. Maybe that's why he was about to tell Sun about the lighthouse. I mean, presumably he must have at least seen the name Quan in the lighthouse, or he wouldn't have gone into that whole thing. In 2004, in the Flash Sideways timeline, Sun apparently came with Jin on a shopping trip, you know, according to Jin. Like, she wasn't exactly there as part of the deal, but she kind of has her own mission, and she takes off her clothes for Jin, and they end up sleeping together. So apparently, even though they're not married in the Flash Sideways, they do have a romantic relationship.
I like how they kind of use the thing with the button to kind of have some fun with that, where he had on the plane had said, you know, button the top button, and obviously we all thought that they were married.
Right.
In the original timeline. And then in this one, she was like, "How? You know, why would you say that?" And then she starts unbuttoning. She's like, "Do you want me to button it now?" And he's like, "No."
Right. It was funny. Yeah. All right. So 2007, the Man in Black approaches Sun and says that he found her husband. So Sun's by herself. She's at the old garden, and the Man in Black approaches and says he found her husband. So just like he promised her that he would. And Sun says that basically she doesn't trust the Man in Black because he killed the people at the temple. And he says, "Look, they could have chosen to follow me. They chose not to follow me. And, you know, I didn't want to kill them." And then he gives Sun the choice to go with him. And it's like, okay, yeah, this sounds like a great plan. So either my options are to go with the murderer or to refuse and presumably get killed because I chose not to go with you, just like you did to the people at the temple who chose not to go with you. So, I mean, Sun's in kind of a bad position here. She can either choose to go with the guy and who knows what he's going to do to her, or she can run away and presumably get killed. Well, for some reason, yeah, go ahead, Spivvy.
Well, this was what I was saying with that it, you know, for me, it doesn't fully confirm it, but it's a lot of points in Sun's corner that she is candidate. I mean, if she wasn't as important to him, why would he even care? So I think he's using Jin as sort of the bait to get her to come over there and want to leave, and he'll use other things to get Jack over there and Hurley. We were joking that all he has to do is yell something at Jack, and Jack will fume over and yell in an angry rage, and then he'll just hit him on the head. And Hurley, we were confused about how he would get him over there, but then someone suggested he would just have to have a nice little jar of ranch dressing for him, and
Oh boy!
But I definitely think that this was saying a lot, that Sun is in fact the Quan that is on the wall and the list and everything.
Well, yeah, or the Man in Black just doesn't know, and so he's covering all his bases and making sure he gets all the Quans that are on the island. And that to me, I think was kind of indicated with the, you know, earlier in the episode when he admitted that he doesn't know which Quan it is. I think he's telling the truth about that. And I think he just wants to get both Quans just in case. Well, this is kind of interesting. So, basically Sun chooses to run away. The Man in Black says, Jin is waiting. He stretched out his hand. Sun runs away and is chased by him. Sun runs into a tree and is knocked unconscious. Meanwhile, the Man in Black returns to his camp. And so, again, at this point in the episode, I'm thinking, why didn't he just kill Sun if she's a candidate? But then, as we talked about, you know, apparently he can't. Or at least maybe he can't. It would seem that that's the case.
Why didn't he just pick her up and take her to the camp?
Well, that's exactly. That was exactly the next thing I was going to say. Well, why didn't he pick her up and take her back? I mean, he obviously, you know, even though, you know, he tells Richard in the last episode that Jacob, the devil, you know, took his body, but he has a physical body. I mean, he wears clothes. I mean, he can hold on to a knife or whatever. He can wear a backpack, you know. I mean, it's not like he's incapable of touching physical objects. And so why wouldn't he just pick her up and take her back?
At the temple, he kind of knocked him out and threw him over his back and carried him into the jungle. So we know he...
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So, I mean, good point. I like that. So Kane in the chat has a good theory about this, though. Because it wouldn't be her free will, she has to go with him freely. Like, she has to make the choice to go with him. Maybe that's one of the rules that the Man in Black has to play by. That's the only answer that I think really makes sense. So thanks, Kane, for that theory about that. Okay, so in the 2004 alternate timeline, Flash Sideways, Sun suggests to Jin that they run away together. So they wake up the next morning, and she tells Jin that she wants to run away with him. And which is funny, because once again, even though they're not married, they have a similar situation in that they have this forbidden relationship, at least on some level. You know, in the original timeline, it wasn't so much a forbidden relationship exactly, but they wanted to kind of get away. They didn't want to be under Mr. Paik's rule anymore. And so they had been making plans to escape. And so in this alternate timeline, it's kind of similar, where they're planning to, you know, or plotting, at least Sun is plotting to run away with Jin. Meanwhile, someone knocks on the door. Sun looks in the mirror. So once again, we have someone in a flash sideways, the feature character in the flash sideways looking in the mirror. I don't remember whether we saw Jin. Did we see Jin look in a mirror in this episode? Not sure if we did, but for sure. What's that?
I didn't see it. If you did,
yeah. But we do know at least Sun looked in the mirror, and it was another one of those, like, it was almost ambiguous. But if you were looking for it, you might notice that she fixes her hair, but then she kind of just stares for another second longer, and it's one of those moments where you kind of wonder if this is the same sort of thing, where they're having a deja vu or something like that. So she answers the door. Kimi is at the door, and he invites himself in. In 2007, back on the island, Zoe has taken Jin to room 23 on the Hydra Island. And I'm not so sure if this is the same room 23, or if this is like a room on the sub, or did they build some sort of makeshift shelter. I mean, at first I thought this was on the sub. I thought maybe this was the padlocked room on the sub, but she described it as room 23. To me, it didn't look the same. I'm going to have to, I guess, go back and look at the episode where Carl was in room 23, and see if it looks the same. I mean, certainly the video that was flashed on the screen looked the same. And by the way, I haven't seen any screenshots yet of the Room 23 film, but if anyone has any screenshots of that, if you could send them my way, I'd appreciate it. I'm just curious, you know, to kind of slow that down frame by frame and see if there are any different frames, or if there's anything interesting in the Room 23, you know, Jacob, God loves you as he loved Jacob, whatever video, if there's anything different than what we saw originally. So if anyone's got any insights or screenshots, I'd appreciate that. So is this the same room 23? I'm not sure, but it's definitely implied.
It's supposed to be the same one, but it's a set, you know, on the show, so I'm sure there are little differences here and there, but from when we saw it in season three. But I think it's supposed to be the same room that they found Carl in.
Yeah. And so Claire, meanwhile, asks the man in black if her name was on the wall, and he says no. And she's concerned that Locke doesn't need her anymore. And also she seems to be concerned that Aaron won't recognize her as his mother. So Claire basically, you know, wants to ensure that she's going to get to leave the island too, because she wants to be reunited with her son. The man in black tells Claire that here's the quote: three people shy of getting off this island, and Kate can help me get these people on this plane. But when she does, whatever happens, happens. So, he says that, Kate is no longer a candidate, because her name is no longer in the cave, is kind of how he puts it. He doesn't say that her name is crossed off, but it's, sort of implied when he says that she's no longer, in the cave. So I want to know who he thinks are the three. So my guess is that he's thinking of Jack, Hurley, and Sun. He's already got Sawyer and Jin, and he thinks Kate is no longer a candidate. And so I don't know whether he thinks that Saeed is still a candidate because his name hasn't been crossed off. Or does he think that there are only five candidates instead of the six that Alana knows about? Because if we add them up, so there's Jack, Hurley, and Sun, and Sawyer and Jin. So that's counting Sun and Jin separately, and that's five. And then if you count one more on top of that, that's Saeed. So
I don't know if this counts anymore or whatnot, but Kate's name was on the lighthouse wheel and was not crossed out. So.
Right.
So, you know, we wonder if maybe he's not aware of that, or if somehow has fallen out of favor for being a candidate since then somehow.
Right. Yeah, presumably there's some significance to that. You know, her name, it was not crossed out in the lighthouse, and yet in the cave, according to the man in black in his conversation with Claire, her name is no longer in the cave. So yeah, there's got to be some reason for that discrepancy, but I guess we'll find out eventually what that is. I kind of suspect that Kate is probably supposed to be kind of the one who's ultimately going to replace Jacob. That's just my thought on that. What other reason would there be for a discrepancy like that, where it's just a discrepancy of one character, you know, one person? I kind of think Jacob was planning all along for Kate to be the final candidate, the one who ultimately replaces him. And how is that going to affect the relationship with Sawyer and Kate? You know, how in the world would Kate be convinced to stay on the island and replace Jacob? That I don't have any idea about that, but I do kind of suspect that Kate has an important role, and that maybe she's going to be the one to replace Jacob. I don't know. Any differing theories on that?
No, that's actually one of my big theories about Kate. I don't know if she is going to replace Jacob, but she's somehow very important to plans of Jacob in thwarting the man in black. Keeping her candidacy a secret is very important. If he needs all the candidates to leave, and he doesn't think Kate is a candidate and leaves her there, then plan is a shot. You know, he'll fail.
Right, exactly. That's a really good point. If what he's saying is true, and he needs to get them all off of the island, then yeah, that would be a big problem for him. And based on his conversation with Claire, you know, when she does, you know, whatever happens, happens. It sounds like he's saying, you know, kind of giving Claire free license to to kill Kate, or maybe he'll kill Kate. I don't know. you know, of course, he won't be able to kill Kate if she's a candidate still. And maybe that's how he'll find out that she's a candidate. And maybe there will be some battle over that. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, we're speculating far too much here. But I am very interested to see what ultimately happens with Kate, because she's got to play some important role. I agree with you there, Spivvy. All right. Bailey Bear asked an interesting question that I'm going to put in the notes for later. All right. So 2004, back in the Flash Sideways, Omar shows up at Sun's room, and he checks the bathroom and finds Jin there. And Kimi asks Omar to get Danny's friend, Mikhail. So these are two names, of course, that are familiar to us, both people who were part of the others on the island. Well, presumably. I mean, we don't know for sure that that's Danny Pickett that he's talking about, but Mikhail for sure is, because we actually see him in this episode. Kimi describes him as the Russian guy who speaks like 9 different languages. And it turns out that it's the same Mikhail who was Patchy on the island. So that was pretty cool to see that actor back on the show. Totally unexpected. I had no idea that they were going to bring this actor back, so that was cool. And meanwhile, or I guess I should say, going back to the other timeline, 2007, back on the island, Sun can only speak Korean now that she's bumped her head. You know, she bumped her head, you know, on a tree or something, running away from the man in black. And after bumping her head, now she can only speak Korean, even though she can still understand English. And Jack has some sort of, I don't know, sci-fi sounding medical explanation for that. But
Stasia is real. I don't know if it can ever affect someone like it's affecting her.
Right.
As far as I know, is where you no longer, you think you're speaking the right language, but your brain is sort of mixed up, so it doesn't make any sense to anybody else. But I actually was very annoyed by this whole
Well, come on. I mean, okay, so I'm not saying that's not a valid, you know, medical condition, but come on. She barely hits her head on a branch, and now it, like, you know, it knocks the English right out of her.
Well, like, I don't think, like I said, the medical name that he uses is a real thing.
Yeah.
And I think it can be brought on by trauma to the head, but I'm not, you know, in medicine or anything, but I've never...
Well, I'm not either, yeah.
...someone getting hit in the head and forget how to speak a language, but be able to understand it and write it. But be able to speak
right.
A completely different language perfectly. And, I mean, I guess they didn't say whether she thought she was speaking English or not, but
right.
Aside from that, I just didn't like it from a story point of view. For me, it's almost as bad as Amnesia. You know,
exactly. It's almost exactly like what it was.
The only thing that kind of makes it cool are a bunch of theories that were popping up in, you know, my show that this what happened is she's sort of combining with her Flash Sideways self.
Right.
So there's sort of that going on. I'm like, I guess that would be kind of cool. But on island, it only creates unneeded conflict, which is just annoying.
Well, yeah, and this whole, like, combining randomly, I don't know. I mean, like, there was sort of a hint that maybe that's what happened with Juliet when she died, right? So, you know, where she's telling Sawyer, you know, we could go Dutch. And I'm still waiting for that to show up in a Flash Sideways. I'm sure that James is going to run into Juliet somewhere, and she's going to give that line to him. I'm sure that's got to be from the Flash Sideways. Otherwise, I mean, the whole, even just Juliet still being alive and then dying again would have been totally a waste. There would have been no point in doing that. Maybe for some character closure, so you could actually see that she's dead. I don't know, but
Juliet appears in the show again, some way. I'll be a little angry that she wasn't in Recon. Like, I'm assuming she wasn't in Recon because she was busy. That the actress couldn't do the show.
Right, in the show V, right on ABC. Yeah,
you know, she didn't want to fly all the way to Hawaii to film a couple scenes in Recon. retcon, I understand that. But, you know, if she appears in some random future episode just to say, let's go Dutch, I'll be like, you know, come on. get her to be in the actual episode where she's going to have a romantic encounter with Sawyer. I mean, I loved seeing Charlotte again, but everyone wished it was Juliet.
Yeah, yeah. So, it would have made more sense. I don't know. Anyway. But it's an interesting theory, the whole, like, sun is merging with her flash sideways self. But I don't know. It just, yeah. It's just way too bizarre sci-fi. I mean, we've had a lot of sci-fi on the show, but it's just confusing. You're just like making up brand new physics and everything. I don't know. It just doesn't make a lot of sense on any level to me. But okay. Do you have another comment about that?
That was, I forget when he said it, but Locke said, that would be ridiculous.
Right. Okay, so Richard Alpert comes back with Hurley, and Richard is wearing his cross necklace. And Ilana is happy to see that she was right. Jacob hasn't let her down. Meanwhile, the man in black has gone to retrieve Jin, and he sees pylons on the beach. And Saeed, by the way, is nowhere to be found. So at this point in the episode, we don't know what happened to him. And the man in black has this information, has this conversation with Charles Widmore. It's funny because they're on opposite sides of the pylons from each other, but, you know, just standing a couple of feet apart. And the man in black says to Charles Widmore, a wise man once said that war was coming to this island. I think he just got here. And so this is the man in black recalling Locke's memory. As you know, you remember that even though this is the man in black, somehow he sort of has Locke's memories. And so apparently he was recalling Locke's memory of Widmore's own statement from season 5, episode 7, The Life and Death of Jeremy Bentham, where Widmore told Locke, because there's a war coming, John, and if you're not back on the island when that happens, the wrong side is going to win. And so the man in black seems to be kind of throwing Widmore's own statement back at him and saying, you're the war, you know, the only reason there's a war is because you came here, is kind of what it sounds like he's saying to him. And it's also interesting that the man in black calls Widmore a wise man. He says, a wise man once said. And so he's both kind of, he's simultaneously saying that Widmore is the cause of the war, and he's also a wise man. I don't know. It's that was sort of a weird line, but I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what to make of that. Go ahead. Sorry.
He may have been just doing it to press his buttons to just be like, you know, I remember everything. You know, I remember what John Locke experienced, and remember you said war was coming. Well, guess what? It happened. So how do you feel about that now, smart guy?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And Spivy, you also said in the chat, I also really hoped the canoe shootout would happen. I think if all goes well, I think we're going to see the canoe shootout in this season. I think that would be so awesome, but I just don't know if they're going to be able to work it in this, you know, during the season, but if they do, that would be so cool.
It's got to be some of those people that were on the canoe. Like, it can't be, I'll be upset if it's like Widmore's group shooting at them, because that won't be as much fun. It's got to be like Sawyer and Miles and all them shooting at themselves. It'll just be the whatever.
Yeah, that would be pretty amazing if they were shooting at themselves. I kind of thought that it would be Widmore's team, but I guess we'll find out. Well, maybe we'll find out if they ever show that scene, but it would be really cool, though. I mean, to show that scene from the other perspective, and then the other canoe, you know, the people in the canoe at least just disappear all of a sudden.
Absolutely.
That would be cool. And they're like, wait, who was it we were shooting at? They're gone. Where did they go? Let's see.
One of them, remember in that episode, they kill a couple of them. They, you know, none of our people die, but when they were shooting at the other one, a couple of people fall in the water. So.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Well, like I said, it would be nice if we see that. I don't know if we will, but I hope so. All right, I'm moving on. 2004 Flash Sideways. Sun finds out that Widmore closed her bank account and stole her money. And Kimi and Omar lock up Jin in the kitchen. Kimi says that the $25,000 that Jin brought over was his fee for killing Jin. And it turns out that Mr. Pike actually already knew that Sun and Jin were having this extramarital relationship. And so basically, he was sending them to Los Angeles for Jin to be killed. And so that's what's going on in this Flash Sideways timeline. 2007, Zoe says to Jin, or no, actually, so Zoe earlier in the episode had been talking to Jin and said, you know, you'll get to meet Widmore. That's, you know, he wants to talk to you too. And now, so Zoe's talking to Widmore and saying, maybe you should have put a mercenary in charge instead of a geophysicist, when Widmore complains about how Jin wasn't supposed to be there for another few days or something like that. And basically he's telling Zoe what you did was wrong. You know, you're out of line. You shouldn't have taken Jin when you did. You should have waited until after he left rather than tranking everybody in order to steal Jin, because now you've sort of, you know, you've gone too far and you've tipped our hand too much. And she says, look, I'm not a mercenary. I'm just a geophysicist. So, then Widmore shows Jin photos of Ji-Yeon, his daughter, which, you know, he's never seen their daughter because, Sun had the baby off the island. And so Widmore shows Jin these photos that were apparently on Sun's camera that he recovered from the Ajira plane. And Widmore claims that if the man in black leaves the island, this is a quote, everyone we know and love would simply cease to be, end quote. So, what's that?
Love that quote, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I like it because it's almost an exact parallel to what Jacob said to Richard in the last episode. So, you know, if Widmore actually believes this, then it would seem that Widmore is definitely on Jacob's side. You know, everyone we know and love would simply cease to be if the man in black leaves the island.
I like that he doesn't say he's going to kill everyone that we care about. They'll just cease to exist.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Huh.
Some people were thinking that meant sort of like a time paradox type thing, that if you were to somehow get off, that everyone somehow just ceased to be. It's just cool. I just love the language that they use there. It opens it up for so much more speculation than if he just said, you know, he's gonna kill everyone that we care about, which is, kill them like the smoke monster does, but it's much cooler.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. So, I don't know. I kind of like the idea about it creating some sort of a paradox. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how exactly that would conflict with what we already know, but, you know, the whole idea of them ceasing to exist, that could make sense. Maybe if the man in black leaves the island, that will be the singularity that unites the two timelines and kind of brings it all together. I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of out there, but I don't know, not any more out there than this whole Flash Sideways thing in the first place. So who knows? All right. Okay. So then Widmore says to Jin, come with me. I think it's time for you to see the package. And Jin says, what package? And Widmore says, it's not a what, it's a who. Okay. So theory time, who is the package? My guess based on later in the episode is that it's gotta be Desmond, right? Do we agree on that? I don't know. What do you think?
Oh yeah, that Desmond was the package. Yeah, I definitely think.
All right. Yeah. Any different theories in the chat? Let us know. What were you gonna say?
This is one of the few times that I almost wish I didn't listen to a lot of podcasts, because you know, you listen to them and you hear all these theories. So obviously Desmond was theorized right from the beginning, and I'm sure I would have thought of that on my own. But you know, you sort of like you hear all these other theories that are sort of crazier and crazier, and you sort of wish it would be kind of nuts. Like some people were like, it was going to be like Flash Sideways Jin. I mean, I heard the craziest theories on all these podcasts, and you're like, oh my God, that'd be great. You know, Walt is going to be in there, or, you know, 25-year-old Ji-Yeon is going to be in there. Like, and you're like, oh my God. So when it's finally like Desmond, who's, you know, the original or one of the original three, you're like, oh, that's cool, but not Walt. You know, and I'm like, oh, man. Like, so all the podcasts that I listen to sort of me hear the crazier theories that, you know, they're never going to do on the show, but.
That's great. I love the idea of it being like Flash Sideways Gin or like a 25-year-old Gion. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Just like coming out to like explain, you know, like all these things that don't make sense. You know, Gion 20, you know, 20 years in the future. Anyway, so yeah, I'm guessing that that's the who, is that it's Desmond. And kind of, I think what you're getting at is that we're assuming here that that Desmond was locked up in the sub behind the, you know, the padlocked door that Sawyer commented about.
Thing about that, and they talked, I think we may have talked about it here, though, that was a lot of padlocks for Desmond. Like, he's not Superman. Like, if you lock him in there with a regular lock, he's not getting out. So
yeah.
There was something very important in there that they didn't want anyone going anywhere near. But, well, maybe there's more. We don't know.
Well, and not only that, but Desmond seems to have been, like, drugged or something. Like, at the end of the episode when they're taking him off the sub, like, he can't even stand, and he just seems to be totally out of it. And so if he'd been drugged, that's all the more reason why they wouldn't need to have a bunch of padlocks on the door. So, you know, maybe...
Infirmary. When he, what's, that's the first thing he says. He's like, take the package to the infirmary or something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Desmond wasn't behind the padlocked door. Maybe there will be something else that will be. I don't know. I guess if we never explicitly find out what was behind the padlocked door, then we can probably assume that it's Desmond. But perhaps the more important question here, as Bailey Bear asks in the chat, is how can Desmond be used? Like, why did Widmore, you know, need to bring him, and why did he need to show Jin Desmond the package? Or, you know, assuming that Desmond is the package. I don't know. How can Desmond be used? What are your thoughts, Bibby?
Well, my only thought when I mean, this is one of the big questions I have from this episode, and it was kind of driving me crazy, and I love it, but the only real reason he was even on the island, and the only reason... you know, that he was supposed to come back to the island, you know, when he was talking to Ms. Hawking in his flashes before your eyes, was where, because of the button. And the button is gone. Like, you know, the swan is destroyed. So his whole purpose on the island is useless now. So in the chat on my show, a lot of people were saying that they think Widmore needed him to come back to the island. You know, that Widmore can't find the island by himself. He needed to have Desmond as sort of a compass to lead him to the island. You know? Which I thought was kind of cool, that Desmond has sort of a power, like all the others of them, that he sort of, the island wants him to come back, and he was supposed to come back with everybody else, so Widmore sort of needed him on board to be able to find the island at all.
Well, that's interesting. Well, and so what then, I mean, because, so Widmore sent the mercenaries back to the island, right? And he knew how to get them there. I mean... What was it that Widmore, I mean, if we're going to follow the same logic and assume that in order to get back to the island, they had to be bringing something back to the island. We know Michael was on the ship, but Widmore, you know, presumably didn't know that Michael was a mole, or he would have not, you know, let Michael get on the ship.
Charlotte, say that again. Miles, born on the island, or at least we know Miles was, and Charlotte was a child on the island. So maybe they were the ones that were coming back.
That's an interesting theory. It's kind of out there, but I guess it makes sense on some level. Yeah, good justification. I was going to say, if you can't make that work for the freighter coming back, then I have a hard time buying it. But yeah, I guess that would work for the freighter too. All right. You know, I'm presumably, I mean... Kane asks in the chat, I don't know if this is before or after we were just talking about like using Desmond kind of to be drawn back to the island. You know, another thought on this is that Charles Widmore obviously has a past relationship with Ms. Hawking, you know, Ellie and Charles were, you know, apparently they had some sort of relationship on the, when they were on the island in Dharma times. And so, you know, and we know they're still at least on talking terms in the present. So it's possible too, that maybe, Eloise Hawking, gave Charles the information that he needed in order for him to get back to the island, because she also knew that he had to go back in order to save the island. I don't know.
Yeah, we know that she has that, the ability to let people know how to get there. So,
right.
They're Daniel Faraday's parents, right?
What's that? Daniel Faraday's what?
Like they're his mother and father, right? Widmore is his father, I think, right?
Yeah, I think we can probably safely assume that Charles Widmore is his dad. Yeah. So they do have a common link there with, you know, they have, well, more than one common link, I guess, with the island and all that kind of stuff. And you know, also, I guess, just since we're talking about Ellie, she didn't want her son to die, right? And so that's why she helped Juliet with the plot to, well, not Juliet. Who was it that she was helping at the time? Saeed and Jack
and
right?
Kate and all that.
Oh, yeah, and Kate. To, you know, she was helping them with this plan to detonate the bomb on the island, right? And so, and all of that was basically so that she could save her son from being killed.
Right.
So maybe, I don't know. I guess in this particular version of time, the one that we're seeing right now in 2007, obviously there were some events that had changed in the past. Like we've got Dharma stuff that involved, like in this episode, for example, when Zoe's talking to Jin, she's looking at these maps of where the electromagnetic pockets are on the island, and Jin's name is on them. So in this version of 2007, they did in fact live in Dharma times, and now they're, you know, back in their own timeline. And in the Flash Sideways, what kind of seems to be happening is that they also went back in time and they changed history. But they created sort of a singularity with, the detonation of the hydrogen bomb. Presumably that led the island, you know, caused the island to sink or whatever, or led to the events that made the island sink. And that is what created more than just kind of where they lived in Dharma times and now they're back in the present, but it actually created a whole rift in the time-space continuum and created a whole different parallel timeline or parallel universe, however you want to look at that. In any case, so in the current 2007, Daniel Faraday is dead still. And maybe by, this is so much a long shot, I don't know if I'm even making any sense, but maybe Eloise Hawking thinks that by sending Charles to the island to fight the Man in Black, that somehow they're going to still be able to prevent Daniel Faraday from dying. Like maybe she's still holding out hope that there's some way that they can prevent that from happening.
Well, I mean, future Eloise though is of the mindset that you can't change the future, that, you know, the universe finds a way. I mean, she sent him there knowing that he would die.
The whole course correction thing, yeah.
Yeah, and you wonder if maybe she's had a change of heart. Daniel came up with the idea of the variable, that you can change the future, or at least his theory said you can change the future.
Right. Well, exactly, and I think maybe she's still holding out hope that that could be true. I don't know. Kane says in the chat, there still has to be a flash backwards, Adam and Eve in the cave. I think he means flashback. I don't know what else a flash backwards means. I think they're probably going to explain Adam and Eve. I don't think they would have brought them up again if they weren't planning to explain that. I mean, that's a season one mystery that they just brought up recently in the season. So I'm going to guess that they're probably going to address that in the season.
To me, that was saying, hey, we remember this, we're going to address it.
Right. Exactly. That's what I got out of it too.
If it's not, it's just me.
Right. They're just taunting us with something that they're not going to tell us. Let's see. Widmore came from the time when Locke was dead. So where is the alternate timeline? I don't know. I'm confused by that question. I don't know if I can answer that. And I think my TalkShoe chat just died. Darn you, TalkShoe! All right, sorry. I'm going to try to reconnect here in just a second. I know this is really boring for the people listening to the MP3, so I apologize. And I'm not going to talk about this anymore. I'm going to go silent, which will make it easier for me to edit out the rest of this. Okay, I'm back. Oh, okay. So Spivvy thinks that he understands what Bailey Bear was asking about. Spivvy answered, I think he means that, referring to me, I think he means that Eloise would help Widmore get to the island to stop the Man in Black. And yeah, that's what I was getting at. Sorry if I was confusing about that. Right. And in doing so, change history so that Daniel lives. I don't know if Eloise for sure thinks that that's a possibility. I don't know. I'm just throwing out an idea. It started out as a theory about, you know, how Charles gets back to the island. You know, he's got a friend in Eloise and, you know, but maybe Eloise has motivation to help out Charles in particular. I don't know. Just an idea. Oh, okay. So maybe what Bailey Bear is talking about here, Spivvy mentions that there's a theory that this Widmore is from the alternate timeline. Spivvy doesn't think that that's the case. All right, so getting back to the Flash sideways timeline, Saeed, just after shooting Kimi apparently didn't die, which I forgot to add to my notes. But yeah, even though Saeed is, you know, is this former military guy and he had a perfect shot at Kimi, apparently Kimi didn't die. And, but anyway, so Saeed shoots Kimi, you know, we hear all this going on and then he comes in, to Saeed. This is where the two, Flash sideways, that we've seen, you know, the one with Saeed and the one with Jin, this is how they meet up. Saeed, finds Jin and, gives him a small knife to cut himself loose. Or small blade, anyway, I should say. And we find out that Kimi apparently didn't die. Mikhail returns with Sun. Jin and Mikhail fight, and Jin shoots Mikhail through the eye. So long, Patchy. And Sun gets hit by a stray bullet or two, and she tells Jin that she's pregnant. So, yeah, Spivvy says in the chat, Sun was so dumb, Jin told her to move. Yeah, well.
He moves like 5 feet. Dude, they're fighting with a gun. Like, don't, like, hide behind something, son. Like, don't stand directly behind them where a stray bullet might fly.
Exactly. Why is she standing up? She should be on the ground, you know? Yeah, not so smart.
She's pregnant, but, I mean, well, yeah. Stupid. We know that she's pretty bright.
Oh, yeah. Bailey Bear points out, Kimi, again, doesn't die right away. Kind of a mirror image of the original.
Well, on my show about that, people were joking that Mikhail should have gotten killed or injured all the ways he did on the island. You know, he should have been hit in the eye and electrocuted and then shot with a harpoon and then finally blown up with a grenade.
Yeah. Well, at the very least, you know, the whole missing eye thing came back to him.
Yeah, that was great. I loved it. We all knew it was going to happen, and I was so happy that they did it.
It was totally gross for, you know, for them to show, like, that he got shot through the eye, but yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was kind of, I don't know. It's one of those things where if it happened in the original, it kind of had to happen one way or the other. It's almost a sort of course correction or something like that. It seems like a lot of these things kind of keep popping up in the Flash sideways. You know, and there's certain things that seem to be constant between the two, that some of which are surprises to us. Like, it wasn't a constant that Sun and Jin were married, but it is a constant that Sun is pregnant, apparently from Jin, you know. Anyway. All right, so getting back to the island in 2007, Jack tries to get Sun to write in English, and she can. So, and this was based on some theory he heard once upon a time in his doctoring. And anyway, so this worked. She can write in English, but she still can't speak in English out loud. And of course, Jack produces a pad of paper and a Sharpie, which seem to be very plentiful, in spite of many things from the plane having been burned. And, you know, they've got this perfectly intact writing pad that still exists and a Sharpie, but I don't know. Anyway, maybe it's the same Sharpie that, that Locke used when he was mute for a while. I don't know.
No, they have a large amount of Sharpies somewhere on the island. They're with all the tarps.
Yeah, was it a Sharpie that Charlie was using to write, you know, fate and late on his fingers?
They somehow found a pen to write that note that they attached to that bird, and he was writing out something. He was writing the greatest hit for the Sharpie. I mean, they...
That's right, yeah. Man. Anyway, that Sharpie gets around. I don't know. All right. And if anyone, you know, remembers that it wasn't a Sharpie in one of those cases, well, I'm sorry. I didn't go back and rewatch that to check whether it was a Sharpie, okay? All right. Anyway, we're almost done. It's late. It's almost midnight here, and it's much, much later for Spivvy and other people listening. So, all right. So Sun is writing in English, even though she still can't speak in English. And Jack promises to help Sun find Jin and to get them on the plane and as far away from the island as possible. So once again, they seem to think that they're going to be able to fly the Ajira plane off the island. And once again, I'm thinking, okay, do you have enough fuel? I mean, even if you get Frank to fly the plane, like, the plane's got to be in pretty bad shape. How are you going to fix it? And how are you going to refuel it? I mean, come on.
And I think we put out on some airplanes can't go backwards. There's no reverse on an airliner. You know,
so how are you going to turn around the plane?
At least they can't do it in the sand. I don't think they're going to take the plane. But the worst thing is that none of them see flaws in this plan except Kate. But they're like, oh, we're going to fly out. And Kate's the only one that said to Sawyer, you know, in recon, how are we going to fly that plane? Like telling them, like, we're not going to get out of that plane. He's like, no, we're going to take the sub, which is equally kind of a stupid plan. But
I think it's, yeah, well, that's true. I guess it's probably about equally stupid. I was almost going to say that that was even more stupid. But on the other hand, all you have to do with the sub is wrestle it away from Widmore and figure out some way to make it work.
It's a nuclear submarine, which, so it's going to work. You just, you know, have to somehow find a way to actually make it work. But
right.
Like, which, you said, there's probably no fuel left or very little fuel.
Yeah, well, there's got to be enough fuel in the sub to make it back, right? I mean, they obviously know that they're not going to refuel on the island. So the sub has got fuel, but maybe the plane's got enough fuel, but like you say, I mean, how would they even turn it around? I don't know.
And it's a huge jetliner. I mean, as far as I know, they need a pretty big runway to take off.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the reason they have to turn it around, of course, is because it has to be facing the runway. Right now, it's not, because they took the runway, or at least attempted to, when they landed the plane. So the plane is probably damaged. It's not facing the right direction, and there's really no easy way for them to turn it around. So even if they could get Frank to fly it for them, I don't see that plane working too well for getting off the island.
And I don't know. There's so many flaws in their plan, but the only thing that really bothers me is none of them see the flaws. Like, Frank is a pilot, and he's not like, this is not going to work for like 25 reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing if we say it doesn't work. I mean, it's a TV show, so, you know, they can have fun and crazier things that happen on Lost. But, I don't know, the fact that it seems like a perfectly cool plan for all of these people, even the pilot of that airplane, it's a little much.
Right. Oh, boy. I don't know. Well, Let's see what else we got here that we can talk about. Anything else interesting? Saeed, yes. So this is the closing moment of the episode. Saeed doesn't come back with Locke, and so, well, you know, fake Locke. And so Sawyer asks him about that. He says, okay, wait, so you didn't come back with Jin, and now we're also missing Saeed. And Locke, you know, basically says that Saeed is, kind of implies that Saeed is on a mission. And Saeed is swimming through the water near the submarine, and he sees them taking Desmond off the sub. So there's the big reveal at the end of the episode. And it, once again, I mean, we're kind of guessing that that's probably the package, you know, since Widmore said it was a who, and, you know, it's supposed to be some big surprise. I don't know. Personally, maybe when, you know, I thought at first, you know, people were, I kind of joked when people suggested that it could be Desmond that was all padlocked up in the sub. I'm like, what, he brings Desmond back to dump him on the island, you know, so that he'll finally get rid of Desmond and keep him away from his daughter? I mean, I don't know. That seems pretty silly. But it's, I don't know. Now that it actually is Desmond, I'm like, okay, wait. What in the world could he possibly need with Desmond on the island? What, I don't get it. Doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway. Well, I guess we will find out shortly, though, probably for the next couple of episodes, what the heck Desmond is doing on the island. Any other thoughts from this episode? Bailey Bear, actually, well, yeah, go ahead, Spivvy.
No, that's it. I mean, I liked it, except for the Sun in English thing, not speaking English anymore thing. But really, yes. Other than that, I liked the episode a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was good. We're getting more into the plot and seeing how the war is going to develop. And we also got some resolution, you know, some explanation as to why Jin was in the meat locker or whatever in the restaurant. I kind of felt like the Flash sideways was dragged out a little bit more than it needed to be. As far as, you know, it was pretty obvious that, you know, Kimi was looking for the money, and that was the whole reason why Jin got locked up. I mean, it seems like they took a little bit too much time on that particular point, but it was interesting to find out what the money was for, that basically Mr. Pike wanted Jin to be killed by Kimi. You know, anyway. But yeah, overall, I thought it was a pretty good episode. So one last thought from Bailey Bear. Bailey Bear said earlier, do you think Saeed will report to Flock, the Man in Black, about Desmond? So I guess what Bailey Bear is asking is does Saeed still have some sort of a moral compass that's going to prevent him from reporting all of, you know, the information that he finds back to the Man in Black? Or is he just going to, you know, is he just totally on the Man in Black side and is going to spill the whole story about Desmond, or what's going to happen there? I thought that was interesting. I mean, I just assumed that Saeed, yeah, would be reporting that back, but I kind of like the idea that maybe Saeed chooses not to give that information. And even if he does, like, what is the fact that Desmond is there going to tell the Man in Black? I don't know. Any thoughts on that, Spivvy?
Well, that's what I want. I mean, Desmond, you know, was important for a while, but as far as I know, he doesn't have any other connection to the island that Man in Black would really care about. He's not, you know, I didn't see his name anywhere on the list, you know, either crossed out or not.
Yeah, I didn't see Hume at all. That's not one of the names that I recall from the cave or from the lighthouse.
So, I mean, he may be interested, why did he bring this guy? But, I mean, obviously it will be important if he was in the locked room. I mean, obviously he's important somehow, but I can't think of why, you know, Man in Black would care about Desmond at all.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. I think that's about it from this episode. Kane says, I think Saeed got it back when he saw Desmond. He found his constant as far as flashing is concerned. Okay. Well, so there's another theory about that. Screenshots and Easter eggs. Once again, I did not see any screenshots from Room 23, and that's what I really wanted to see the most. Say that again.
There was someone dark UFO.
Of Room 23?
Yeah, let me, like...
Oh, yeah, here they are. Okay, I guess I missed them before. There's one that says, think about, and it looks like there's some tribal masks or something like that in the background. I'll put these in the show notes so that people can see what it is I'm talking about, but I'll try to describe it for the listeners. There's another that is sort of a mosaic of, it looks like a small sailboat with the sun setting, and that's kind of mashed up with what looks like some sort of a picture of a galaxy or something like that. There's, I guess this is a continuation of the same sentence, think about your life. So the next slide says your life, and there's kind of some abstract images. It's difficult to tell what exactly they show, but some of the pictures look like it could be another mask of some sort, and the others, it's hard to tell. It could be a bomb dropping. Hard to tell for sure. One of them says, we are the causes of our own suffering, and there's a couple of images for that. The first one looks like an up-close shot of a fish's face, maybe, or something like that. And the second one looks like a graveyard, again, with we are the causes of our own suffering superimposed. And there's a couple of close-ups of an eye of what looks like a doll. There's a Buddha image. There's another slide that says everything changes. And I have no idea what that is, but it looks like some sort of ancient technology, possibly a camera or something. And also with everything changes superimposed, there's a compass. And the kind of compass, not the kind for, you know, determining whether you're facing north or south, but the kind that you used to, like, draw a circle. And also everything changes superimposed on what looks like an electronic keyboard. And I guess that's about it as far as the screenshots from Room 23. There are also some screenshots that just kind of generally show the way that the room looks and things like that. Again, it didn't look familiar to me, and maybe it's, as Spivy was saying, maybe it's just because it's a different set that they're actually filming this on, and so some things got changed, but I don't know. I don't remember Room 23 looking like this, but then maybe it was kind of dark the last time that we saw it. And so maybe that's one of the reasons why it looks different. I don't know. In any case, so I will put up a link to where you can find all of the screenshots in the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can find the show notes at thelostmeister.blogspot.com. And I'll post them at the same time as I post the MP3 for this episode, if not beforehand. And Spivy jokes in the chat, God loves you as he loved V. Think about V. Kind of another little subliminal message that ABC is trying to impose upon us with their V advertisement in the bottom corner of the screen. Almost the entire episode of Lost. That was very annoying. I agree. All right.
It was ridiculous.
Say that again.
Seen anyone do that for a TV show before?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I was looking at, I can't remember what site it was. There was some show where they kind of do coverage of different, or not, some site, I should say, where they do coverage of different television shows, like some major site. And they had an article about which shows were going to be canceled and which shows are kind of on the bubble, And V is one of the shows that's on the bubble. Like, it's possible that it could get canceled, which, by the way, Chuck was as well, which is, I don't know, kind of disappointing to me. Although, I guess at this point, anyway, I don't want to, we can talk about this after we stop recording. But anyways, I don't know. It looks like V is on the verge of possibly being canceled if they don't get their viewership up or something. And so I think that's why they're really trying to force this on the Lost fans, you know, trying to get them into the new show.
Note to ABC, it helps for a show to grow viewers if you don't show 4 episodes and then go off the air for 4 months.
You would think that ABC...
They were really dumb about it.
Yeah, you would think that ABC would have learned their lesson, you know, back when they were splitting up Lost into big chunks, you know. The fans always hated that, and it seems like they always lost viewers, you know, once it finally came back, because people just forgot. They didn't know the schedule, they didn't know when it was coming back on, and now they're doing the same thing with one of their brand new shows. It's like, you know, that probably wasn't the best idea, but anyway.
And I think what they should have done, I mean, this would make all the podcasts a lot later, but they should have put V at 9 and Lost at 10. The show that always follows Lost gets destroyed in ratings because so many Lost fans run on two podcasts now.
Well, yeah, maybe. I'd like to think that that's what happens, but I don't know. Who knows? In any case, so... That's far too much about the V advertisement. So let's get into some sort of kind of spoilers. I don't know. Which do you think we should do first? The preview for next week or the notes from the official podcast? Less spoilery?
I didn't see the preview. So, we can talk about the podcast if you want. I heard that and it was very cool.
Okay. Like I said, I didn't get a chance to fully take notes on the official Lost podcast, but they did mention that they mentioned the names of two particular characters that we're going to see again. And this is confirmed. We're going to see, they said, and they didn't say them at the same time. They just kind of came out from two different questions that fans had. But the first person they said we're going to see again is Desmond, which, of course, now we have seen him in this episode. And this one might be a surprise to a lot of people. It was definitely a surprise to me. They said that we're going to see Libby again. That was big. I was really surprised about that because I thought for sure that Libby's whole story was done because of statements that they've made in the past about how, you know, they couldn't get the actress on the show or something about, I don't know, like, she didn't want to finish out the Libby plot or I don't know, something like that. Well, somehow they talked Cynthia Watros into playing Libby again, apparently, because they're going to have Libby back on the show this season. That totally surprised me. I was totally blown away by that.
Her again. And then Damon and Carlton talk, that could mean she'll be very important or like, you know, Hurley will bump into her in the supermarket. So, you know, more about her story, but
it would be absolutely lame if that's all it was, that Hurley just runs into her in the supermarket, you know. But if they're gonna go to all the trouble of bringing her back, like, I really hope that it's not just gonna be some kind of silly thing like Mikhail in this episode where, oh yeah, we just brought him back to kill him off and make him shot through the eye just so that you can laugh about, oh, hey, look, now he needs an eye patch again. You know, I mean, if they do something stupid like that with Libby, then that's going to be really annoying. I mean, if they're going to bring Libby back, they better do it, like, in a cool way, you know, in a tasteful way where people are going to get to see Libby interacting with Hurley and, you know, it's got to be something interesting or else it's going to be really dumb to bring Libby back.
I really hope that... This is what I really hope happens, that she shows up in the Hurley episode and they, you know, fall for each other and they end up together in the Flash Sideways. If the Flash Sideways means anything, that is, then I hope that's kind of what happens. They, you know, he finally gets with Libby at the some way in the Flash Sideways.
Yeah, that would be cool. So was there anything else from the official podcast that other kind of spoilery things or otherwise that would be worth talking about? Those are the only things that I remembered
Well, they revealed the finale title. I don't know if that...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
The title itself isn't spoilery at all. It's just awesome.
Yeah. Exactly. They said that the final episode of Lost is going to be called The End. which, the one thing that I kind of got out of that, if you can even get anything out of that episode title at all, is that it seems to imply that this is really the end of the show. We're not going to do any stupid spinoffs. And we're not going to, they may leave some things open for interpretation. I mean, obviously there are going to be some unanswered questions and things like that, just because there's no way they can answer all everybody's questions about everything by the end of the series. But my guess is kind of the episode title implies that this is, not just the series finale, this is really it. Like, this is the last episode we're ever going to show you. And we're not doing spinoffs. We're not going to reveal something else, in a future episode. This is really it. That's about all I got out of it. But even that, who knows? I don't know. They did say recently on an official podcast that there were some things. I can't remember if that was the most recent podcast, but they were talking about how they were going to answer some question, but not on the show. Did we talk about that last week, or I can't remember when that was? No, it would have been a couple weeks ago, or else last, or else the most recent official podcast. They said there was something they were going to reveal, but not actually on the show. Like, they were maybe going to wait until after the show was over or something. They weren't really clear on it, but anyway, I don't know. Anything else you remember from the official podcast?
It was a cool podcast. I mean, they answered some questions.
Yeah.
No, like, spoilery stuff. I mean, any big reveals, but...
Well, except for Libby coming back. That was kind of a spoiler.
What we said.
Yeah.
But it was very cool. I'm going to miss those two.
Yeah, that's true. They've kind of joked recently about starting a podcast. I don't know if they joked or if they were being serious, but they talked about, anyway, on a podcast, about starting another podcast after Lost is over. But then I think it was Damon who said basically, yeah, we're not going to do that. The only thing people want to hear us talk about is Lost. So,
I don't know. There are a lot of people I know that would love if they did a Star Trek podcast. But, I mean, they're going to, I don't know if, I don't think Carlton is, but Damon Lindelof's going to be working on a new movie. So that would be kind of,
oh, interesting.
I think he's going to be writing it, or he'll be one of the people writing it. He was a producer on the last one. He's a writer on this one.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So we'll see what happens there. I don't know. I think a Damon and Carlton podcast would be kind of cool. I mean, Jay and Jack have already, I guess maybe partially in anticipation of Lost not lasting forever and having such a huge fan base, they've kind of already started other shows as well. It would be cool to see something like that from Damon and Carlton too. Although I suspect that their lives are going to be plenty busy with other shows that they're going to be working on after Lost. So,
right.
In any case, if I do get a chance to go back and listen to the official podcast again, if there were any other like big important things that we should probably mention on the show, then I'll, maybe make note of those things. But all right. So the preview for next week almost showed nothing at all. It was really weak. They showed a whole bunch of old clips and then, there was a line from Widmore, something about make a sacrifice. I missed the first part of that line. And then the second thing that he said, that Widmore said, was the island isn't done with you yet. And presumably that was said to Desmond. And they showed to Desmond like a real quick flash of his face or something. And that was pretty much it. So they didn't really reveal hardly anything in the preview. It was hardly a spoiler.
In the preview, it was Damon, twittered it right after the episode aired, and it said the conversation will change next week.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I guess that could probably be considered a spoiler of some kind. If you're not following Damon Lindelof on Twitter, then you probably missed that tweet. But what do you think he meant by that?
I definitely think that something will be revealed next week that'll make us probably view the Flash sideways completely different, because that's really the only thing that has a lot of people upset about the season. And when you hear sort of negative comments about the season, it's always about the Flash sideways, usually. So I think that's what he's really talking about, that the whole conversation about the Flash sideways and the show will change next week. I think that's what he's referring to. What about you?
In the Flash, so you think it's more about the Flash sideways?
Yeah, or at least kind of confirming what they are, or giving us more information so we kind of view them in a different way.
Huh. When I read that, I kind of took that to mean that the conversation on the island is going to change. So it's kind of funny. I guess we kind of took opposite interpretations of that. Like maybe rather than being sort of a debate, like where the Man in Black is like talking with Woodmore, you know, maybe things are going to change up dramatically with what's going on the island. I don't know. Bailey Bear also, by the way, from was in watching the preview, said, I thought I saw something torn apart in the middle of the ocean, like a raft. I don't particularly remember that, but again, I know there were a lot of like older clips, but if I can find it on YouTube, then I'll put a link in the show notes for that. All right, cool. Well, I think that's going to about do it. Spivvy, you got anything else? Bailey Bear, anything else?
That's it.
Cool.
Looking forward to next week. It should be a very, very cool episode.
Yeah.
Desmond-centric.
Ooh, Desmond-centric, eh? I guess that makes good sense since they just introduced Desmond kind of at the end of this episode. Cool. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining. And we'll see you next week. And I apologize, by the way, to anybody who might have missed coming to the live episode because I forgot to schedule it on TalkShoe in advance. But if you ever notice that I'm not already or that the chat room isn't open yet, if you go to TalkShoe.com and I'm not there when I normally am, then stick around for a few minutes because chances are I probably just forgot to schedule the episode on TalkShoe, and and so I'll be starting it manually momentarily, so I apologize for that. Had dramatically fewer people here in the chat tonight, I think probably in part because of that, so my apologies. I'll try to do better next week.
Hopefully
all right. Say that again, Spivvy.
Hopefully they were all watching V.
By the way, yeah, since you brought up V again, one last thing. This also comes from Damon Lindelof on Twitter. He said, yes, people, I saw it too. 34 minutes until I cry myself to sleep, in reference to the countdown that was in the bottom right corner during the entire episode. Yeah. So Damon Lindelof noticed that, and he hated it too. We're not the only one.
I would see it making him a little more angry. I mean, the writer, and they've slapped this promo on his show for a show that
probably, the entire show.
Yeah, like, and if I was so happy that there were subtitles in this episode, because if there wasn't, it would have been there even more. They had to take it off the subtitles, or it would have covered the subtitles. So they took it down, like they take down the ABC logo in the corner, and it was a counting down clock. I've never seen anything like that for a show other than like the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes they do something like that, but only like briefly, like right when they come back from commercial or something like that. But they did it throughout the entire episode. And that was just way overkill.
It has the little logo in the corner with the countdown right under it. So you know exactly when each screen cap appeared.
Yeah. So darn you, ABC, with your V promo. Anyway, with that note, we will head out. So until next time, stay lost and namaste. If you have a product or service that you'd like to market to thousands of Lost fans, find out how you can become a sponsor of this podcast. Send an email to thelostmeister@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Please check out the Josh Meister's Lost blog for links related to this podcast. The address again is thelostmeister, that's thelostmeister.blogspot.com. www.joshmeister.com. Thank you, and namaste.